Let's start with the bizarre part of it. That here we are. You got a 4-game road trip to finish the season, but tonight it's kind of tough to wrap your head around it being the last home game.
Yeah, it is. It's the season in a lot of ways has gone by very quickly, and obviously a disappointing season, not the way we wanted it to go. But it is hard to believe that we're at the we're the last home game already.
What do you expect? What do you want to see tonight? I mean, you've seen plenty of good home games since the 8-2 loss, but anything specific you want to see tonight in the send-off?
Well, I want to see us work hard again. I mean, that's the big thing. You know, I brought this with me because the fan who left us, I walked in Monday morning and I had a voicemail message. Fan didn't bother to leave their name, but I transcribed
I get some
it.
Of those too.
Yeah,
we all do.
And the message, of course, it followed the Friday night win at home against Phoenix in overtime, and mm-hmm. then the big win on Saturday night up in Edmonton. And the message was, this is definitely not the time for the Flames to start winning. I hope somebody has the brains to tell them to take their foot off the gas. Take a knee. Take a dive. We need to finish in bottom place. And this is the fans. Follow the suit of the Oilers there. Pass it on, please. And, you know, and I know,
well.
I know that there's a lot of concern and consternation and hand-wringing right now over the fact that, you know, we've been winning hockey games. And as a result of our win against Detroit, it put us in, if we were drafting tomorrow without the benefit of the lottery, however that works out, you know, we'd be drafting sixth mm-hmm. overall. And, you know, the thing is, and you know, in response to that kind of a message from a fan, and for those fans who are distraught about things, one of the reasons we're playing the kids is that this is an audition for next year. This is, you know, as Bob Hartley has said, he's already in the thinking about next year mode. And that's part of, it's why you see a guy like Max Reinhart, that he starts off, he plays the wing, then he moves back to his natural position at center, playing with some skill guys. He gets a goal up at Edmonton, and then you see him on a fourth line, a grinding role. And again, it's about putting these guys in different situations and seeing how they respond. You bring a kid like Konowski in and see exactly where he is and what he's going to have to work on this summer. And really, that's what we expect, is that hard work. And, you know, at the end of the day, while, yes, we'd love to have the first pick overall in this year's draft, we also don't want our guys to think that losing is ever acceptable. And so that's not the mindset. And you know, that's why what I hope we do tonight is what we've been doing, with the exception of that 8-2 loss at home to Edmonton a little while back, and that is compete.
You can understand the confusion that right, you feel it. Everybody feels it's a confusing time because of where you sit right now and games that, quote-unquote, don't mean right. anything right now, and you're using them as a fantastic testing ground.
Yeah.
But it is such a unique time right now because everybody's so concerned and passionate about where you're going and what's best, and everybody's got their own opinions, including us. But you can understand the confusing nature that everybody is sort of sitting in.
For sure, and the thing is that again, if the natural result of the trades we've made, you're moving out Jerome and moving out Jay Bouwmeester, a top two defenseman, even moving a veteran guy like Blake Como, who's been very, very good for us since we claimed him off waivers the other year, if the natural result of moving those guys out and having the kids play is that we lose games and our draft position is enhanced, obviously drafting as high as possible is a good thing. Mm-hmm. At the same time, from the perspective of, you know, you're never going to run a team that way, the way that fan, the way
sure.
the voicemail suggested. You're never going to walk into that group of guys and say, you know what, boy, it'd be great to draft first overall this year. Just, you know, go out and screw up. Don't try.
Yeah.
Don't compete. And particularly when you're trying to change the culture and the mindset.
Right.
You know, we want guys in that room to understand that where we are right now, where we've been the last 3 years, it's going on four now, where we've been for 4 years, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to be outside the playoff mm-hmm. picture looking in. And so from that perspective, I do understand that confusion. And again, to the extent that the natural result is that you lose games, well, then that does enhance the draft position.
Yeah.
But it'll never be... It's not the mindset or the culture that you want to have inside that room.
How it's a compressed schedule, but it at times has to have felt like maybe two seasons rolled into one for you. I mean, it's been shortened, but it's been a long, bumpy road, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a difficult season. There's no question about that. You know, it's and we knew. You know, I had the conversation with ownership, you know, back when we knew that there was going to be a new CBA and we were going to get a truncated schedule in, that, you know, I think for an older team, I think that 1 week to get ready for the season, we had a lot of guys who didn't play during the lockout, and so you start off with that whole situation, and just different things that have happened all year. It's been a very, very difficult year.
Jay Feaster's with us, Flames GM, here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. A couple of signings that have happened in the last couple of days. Let's start with the signing of goaltender Rito Berra, of course, in the Jay Bouwmeester deal. He was one of the pieces that came back from St. Louis. A one-year entry-level contract to start for next season. Now, the expectation is he's in North America for next year?
Yeah, for sure, okay. The contract does not contain any kind of... you know, of a European assignment clause or anything. It's a straight entry-level deal. Because of his age, he is bound by the entry-level system. You know, he's not free to sign outside of the entry-level. And because of being bound by the entry-level system, we can only give him the one-year contract, which is why it's just a one-year deal. But, he's going to be here. He's going to be here in camp, and we'll see where he is and how he looks and go from there.
The goaltending spot's kind of wide open right now because we don't know what's happening with Mika Kiprusoff. And you've got Joey McDonald as an unrestricted free agent. All in all, it could be a pretty wide open competition next year.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Obviously, it comes down to what Kipper is going to do. And, you know, as you know, I mean, I've met with Kipper many, many times here, beginning back in March and right up through the trade deadline. And As he has said, as he and I talked, and as he said publicly, at the end of the season, we'll sit down and talk about it. But, you know, at the same time, we're going to work to try to get Kari Ramo signed. I mean, that was the part of the plan this past season. If he would have been able to get out of his commitment in the KHL, that contract is now done. We're not actually permitted to sign him under the terms of the CBA until the free agency period starts, which is July 5th, but obviously because he's our own restricted free agent, I mean, we can have conversations with the agent. And again, we're gonna go into camp and we'll see. I think we'll see good competition.
So on the Ramo front, you can't sign him until July 5th?
Right.
And so is he technically an he is RFA?
Exactly. He is a restricted free agent. Difference there, by the way, the difference with Berra is that Berra is actually a drafted player who has, until now, has never signed an NHL deal, and therefore his status is defected status. You know, the old defected, the players who go play in Europe, they are assigned defected status. So his status is different, and therefore we are able to sign him now to a 13-14 contract, whereas because Ramo is a restricted free agent, it's July 5th.
And I was looking on CapGeek. Actually, somebody pointed this out to me. I don't know if you can shed any light on it. Did the statuses of Danny Taylor and Leland Irving change for this offseason?
In terms of...
Do they go from being an RFA to a UFA under one of the clauses?
Yeah, under Group 6.
Okay, so they become Group 6 unrestricted free agents this summer. Okay.
Both of them?
For sure, Leland does. I'm not sure that that's the case in Danny. I have to look on Danny.
Yeah, I only asked because it showed up on CapGeek.
I don't think that's right on Danny, but I haven't looked at it recently.
How about Ben Hanowski and a couple of, I mean, let's just start with Ben Hanowski. I mean, an opportunity for a college kid to come in and I guess just take it and kind of run with it, and you get a chance to see what you've got in him.
Yeah, you know, because of his age, by burning a year of the contract right now, by signing him to a current contract, 12-13 season, it doesn't impact as far as Group 6 or Group 3 unrestricted free agency. So, you know, the only thing it does is it impacts once he plays his first pro game, which obviously he has done. You know, once he plays his first pro game, then it counts as a season towards the three seasons that he's exempt from waivers. So, you know, but the reality from our perspective and how we looked at it when deciding to sign him now is that when we get, you know, 2 years down the road from now, his play is going to determine where he is as far as waivers. That, you know, if he's an NHL player, we're not going to waive him. And if he's not, as we've seen with a lot of guys that we like, you know, every year you have guys that you like, and you're concerned, you waive them, the Paul Byrons, for example, you know, those guys tend to clear. So we made a decision that it was worthwhile because we bring him in. We do get the free look at him, really. And at the same time, we just think it's going to accelerate his development as far as knowing what he has to do over the summer to get ready.
And a couple other guys that have come up in the conversation. I know we had Agostino on with us, and, of course, John Ramage is another one you've signed. I guess just a thought on both of those players.
Yeah, Kenny Agostino, we're really excited about him. Yeah. John Weisbrot spent time with him at the Frozen Four, and he's even more excited than we were in acquiring him. And as Weisbrot told him at the time that they met in Pittsburgh, he said, you know, the one thing, the Pittsburgh deal went through different permutations, and there were different things that we were asking for in different pieces. One of the pieces that remained constant in that deal, obviously the first-round pick was a constant, but the other piece that was a constant was Agostino. And, you know, we would have been happy to have him turn pro. He phoned the other day, and he said, you know, I want to get that degree. And I told him, I said, as somebody who graduated from Georgetown Law School, I said, I understand the importance of an education, and I understand especially the cachet of a Yale degree. So
pretty significant.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not bad.
He told me, you know, I want to get the degree, and next year at this time, I'll be ready to go, and then I focus on being a pro. And so we're happy to have that. John Ramage just finished up a very successful collegiate career, spent the last two seasons as the captain there in Wisconsin, and his head coach there while he was at Wisconsin, Mike Eaves. And I had the privilege of working with Mike when I was in Hershey in the American Hockey League, and Mike was our head coach. And so I know that he's gotten great coaching there over his career. He's a high-character guy. And as I told him, I said, just look at the depth chart, and you see that we're very thin on the blue line, and there's real opportunity. So we're happy to have him sign. I'll give you guys breaking news, all right? The scoop is right here. As we speak right now, Mike Burke, our guy, is upstairs, and he's filing with the league the entry-level contract for Marcus Granlund.
That was what I was going to ask you next.
So, and I had to write that down, too, because I know I'd miss somebody. But what it means is now that while we only had four picks in that 2011 entry draft, Sven Berchi at 13 overall obviously signed in with us. The 45th pick overall and second-round pick, Marcus Granlund, he has signed a three-year entry-level deal. And then the 57th pick, second-round guy, Tyler Weatherspoon, we have signed him already. And then the 164th pick overall, Laurent Brossoit. So everybody from that draft class is signed except
for Johnny.
Except for Johnny Gaudreau. Yeah.
Yep.
And then even the 2012 class, we talked about the fact that we've liked our drafts these last couple of years. You know, Max Reinhardt is signed, obviously, and playing. Johnny Ramage is signed and playing. Michael Ferland is signed, and obviously he's going to be playing in the Mem Cup. The one guy from that class that we still have to sign is Billy Arnold. So the two kids at BC in those two drafts yet.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So
how about that? So
that is
Peter Hanlon has not released that yet. You guys have it first, and now I'm in trouble with everybody else. So
Well, we appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, but he does say we like to announce our own news. So it is coming from the voice of the general manager. Jay Feaster's with us in the Hot Stove Lounge on Granlund. So a 3-year entry level deal.
Yeah.
What is the biggest challenge for him now, making the jump from the European game to the North American
game? You know what? I think it's the same with all of these guys, and it's one of the things that I talked to John Ramage about just this past week, that, you know, you think you've done enough physically to prepare. You know, you obviously, every one of these guys, they work out hard in the summer. They, you know, some of them use personal trainers, and there's no question in my mind that Marcus will work hard. He'll put in the time and the effort, but there's a difference in terms of getting ready for the NHL. And that's what I say to the young players is, when you think you've done everything you can to get ready, do more. Because that's the challenge. It's the physical challenge. And that's why with a guy like Kanowski, you know, we believe that if we didn't sign him and bring him in right now, that the challenge would be that he's not going to realize what he has to do in the summer.
Right.
You know, John Ramage, we kicked around the idea of, should we do something like that with John? The fact of the matter is that, you know, John, because he was our own draft pick, he has been to a couple of our summer development camps, and so he does have a little bit better understanding of just what's expected.
Do you have a timeline or a projection with Marcus Granlund on him? I know there's so much in the air, but just as far as the vision and where you guys...
Yeah, you know what, we really don't. I mean, he had a very, very good season, and so it'll come down again to what he does in terms of preparing in the offseason, and then you know, we'll bring those guys in. All these guys that we've signed, we're participating again in the rookie tournament in Penticton. We'll do that again. So
that is coming back.
That's, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that another scoop?
I think so.
We're just breaking news here. It's unbelievable.
We should have the breaking news music going throughout this entire interview.
This is
going to be the third host. I can leave.
We are going to go back to Penticton. So and we're also, we don't have it finalized yet, but we're also working on trying to do another rookie game with the UFC with the Dinos. So but we'll do Penticton, and then we'll bring those kids into camp, and again, going to be wide open, you know, for the first time in a long time. Going to be a lot of spots open and some good competition. So as far as a timeline, we honestly don't, you know, we haven't done that projecting with them.
Yeah. Abbotsford season ends tomorrow.
Yes.
And so from that point on, you don't have to worry about the four recall rules.
That's right.
Got four games left on the road.
Yeah.
Are we talking about a huge airlift?
Yeah, we'll probably bring in, four or five forwards. We'll bring in a defenseman. Obviously, we brought Mark Kandary up because we have Weidman out with an injury, and Corey Sarich was having some back trouble yesterday, and then Chris Butler had the flu. Butt skated this morning. I think he should be good to go. Corey's back is loosened up. I think he's going to be good to go. If that's the case, then we have to assign Kandary back to Abbotsford. But he would be one of the defensemen that we would bring in. We'll definitely see him down the stretch. And then we'll also bring a goaltender, too. Danny Taylor is out with a grade 2 MCL sprain. And so, you know, that means that Leland Irving would be the guy that we'd bring back. So, again, probably looking at, what's that total? You know, it's probably seven or eight guys that'll be coming in.
Yeah, that is quite
significant. And again, with the idea that we'll look to play them. You know, when we sent Jonesy back, you know, we had brought Blair in at one time as an emergency recall. We sent Jonesy back, and we told him, go back there and play. When the season ends there, we'll get you back in, and we still have those four games. Told the same thing to Kimalu. Told the same thing to Ben Street when we sent those guys back. So, you know, we'll, and then Paul Byron has been cleared and now has
back.
Played.
Yeah.
So, you know, Paul's a guy that obviously we liked him, and he was one of the first recalls this year and got hurt in that first game. And then the other guy up front who's done a real good job, and we want to look at him, and we think that over the last couple of years he deserves the reward, is Carter Banks.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
That is kind of a cool story, isn't it?
Yeah. Carter's worked really hard, and you know, he's a heart and soul kind of guy. He's the kind of player that every coach, when they look down the bench, they love to have him to put him out in all situations, and he's a hole in the lineup when he's not there, when he's not healthy. So he has been cleared to play, and so again, we've talked about bringing him in for a look.
Outside of the business that you've been doing, Jay, as far as some of these collegiate guys and just some of these prospects in general, what else, I mean, with the season winding down now, what do you turn your attention to most now? Is it the draft? Is it, let's just say, free agents? Let's say potential trading partners or guys who are out there who are UFAs, or maybe their contract would be something that you would be, where are you focused on
now?
Yeah,
it's a number of things. You go back to the trade deadline, we had our pro guys in for, you know, 4 or 5 days, whatever it was, and John Weisbrod took them through the exercise of, again, identifying the preliminary UFA list, so we know who's there, and we've already, you know, we've started putting our rankings on the guys in free agency. The other exercise we went through was that we also looked at every team's cap situation for next year, with the cap going down to $64 million, and so we know which teams are in cap trouble, and therefore which teams are going to have to do some things. So we, you know, we've looked at that, and that's something that's an ongoing process that we work. At the same time, we'll have organizational meetings once we finish. We'll come home from the road trip. We'll probably do our exit meetings on the Sunday on April 28th. And then starting on May 1st, we'll have our NHL coaches and my staff. We'll sit down as a group and meet. And then on the 2nd, we'll bring in the guys from Abbotsford and the coaches from here and from Abbotsford. And we'll go through every player, literally every player that has played in either place this season. We'll talk about those guys. You know, we'll have our organizational wrap-up so that we have a real good feel on who it is that we're going to give qualifying offers to, who we're going to move on from, that sort of thing. And at the same time, You know, our scouts, Todd Button is very, very busy, all of our guys, but Todd and John Weisbrod, again, getting ready for the draft. You know, as I've told those guys, we literally, I mean, you always have to know the draft, and you have to feel good about what your guys are doing. But as I said, we have to know that first round inside and out,
yeah.
And we have to know the players. And it isn't just knowing the skill of a player, but it's about knowing their character and, you know, what kind of people they are in terms of what we're bringing into the locker room, because we really want to change the mindset and change culture here.
Just two clerical questions. Sven Berge, is he on a regular recall now?
Yes, okay. Yes, that's right. You follow that stuff pretty close, Pat.
I get asked all the time.
Yeah, no, what happened, and we were. This is how we have been planning. That at the point in time where Hanowski came in, you know, we had to do something, and then at the point in time when Stajan was good to go, we had to make a move, and McGrattan is good to go, and Gratz is going to play tonight. So basically what it means is that we had to convert Sven to a regular recall. We had planned that all along. In other words, we were never going to get into a situation where once we ran out of emergency recall room that we would send Sven back.
Right.
Like once we recalled Sven, even though we did it on emergency because we could, we always planned on keeping him with us.
Do you have to shift that emergency
what happens now is that as it relates to Sven, he is a regular recall, and so therefore it becomes our fourth regular recall, fourth free one.
Yep. And for Kenderi, would you actually have to send him on a plane back to Abbotsford, or could it just be a paper transaction?
Well, technically, we'd have to send him back. You know, query one of the things, you know, Abbotsford's trip into Oklahoma City, the flight out of Denver was canceled. And so what they had to do, they ended up having to bus from Denver to Oak City. And so the way we got him in here was that we actually dropped him off on the way to Oak City. We dropped him in Wichita, and he flew from Wichita. And his bag didn't make it. He was out there this morning skating with a pair of skates that Obi found for him in the room. The bag still isn't here. Supposed to get here tonight. So that's one of the things that we've looked at is how realistic is it to get him back to Oak City for tomorrow.
Right.
So depending upon what planes, trains, and automobiles looks like, we may just have him, you know, go into Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because that's what will happen is that, you know, come Saturday night after the game, we will recall those guys we talked about from Abbotsford, and then they'll fly early Sunday morning into Minnie. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Do we have a little more time or no?
Should we get you back upstairs?
I'm good if you guys... I'm fine.
Okay.
Just back to the draft for a second. You know, whenever you talk to a general manager after the draft, or whenever you hear from a team after the draft, he was our guy on our list. And then there was a big reaction when you were quoted as saying, at this point, we don't have our number one guy yet because, well, frankly, we don't know where we're picking yet. And it was early on. It was a week or two ago. Are you that much closer? I'm not going to put you on the spot to name names because, again, you don't know where you'll pick. But do you have your number one guy in sight now?
Yeah, you know what? It's a case where certainly coming out of our midwinter, we call them the midwinter meetings. It happens typically in January. Coming out of that meeting, you know, our scouts have their list.
Sure.
And so there is a guy slotted in there at number one. What happens is that, you know, as you go through the second half of the season, that's why we do them, you know, mid-season. In the second half of the season, as you're watching and as you look at playoffs and as you're digging deeper now in character and you're talking to, you know, not just coaches, but you're talking to the billets, you're talking to the academic advisors if it's a, you know, mm-hmm. kid in junior. And so as you go through that process, there are times when it will change. The order of the list, not necessarily at the top, because, you know, at the top you do have a pretty good idea, and we believe that there are, you know, that there are four really elite players at the top of that draft. It's a very good draft. It's a very deep draft. If we had to pick at six, we believe we're going to get a really good player. So we do have that order. But just to give you, for instance, you know, you go back to that 2011 draft, and we actually, right up until the night before the draft, I think that was in Minnesota that year, is that right?
Yep, yep.
2011?
Yep.
Right up until the night before, so Friday night, we had on our list, we had Sven Berge and we had another player. And the other player we actually had at that time was ahead of Sven. And we had some concerns about the player. And we had concerns from the standpoint of, you know, we think that what we see with this player now is what he's going to be. That there's more physical maturity. He's like, this is what he is.
Yep.
Whereas with Sven, we looked at it and said there's still room for improvement. There's still room for growth. Like we think the upside's higher. And you know, we tested it through decision lens, and we beat it up really hard, mm-hmm. really hard. And that draft was one where, as I had said to Todd, you know, we're going to draft our list. So make sure the order's right. Like, make sure the order's right. That's, you know, I don't right. want to hear later that, well, it was a toss-up between mm-hmm. those two guys and we weren't sure. No, we have to have the list in the right order. And literally that Friday night, you know, Todd said, we're going to flip it. And I remind the guys of this all the time because, you know, that other player was drafted and he was drafted in the first round. And so I'll do it all the time with the guys.
Well, yeah.
I'll say to them, okay, and remember at the, you know, the night before the draft, we switched the order. What if we hadn't? Would we be happy with that guy, or are we happier that we got Sven? And the guys are all going, hey, you know, no doubt, thank God we switched that order. And so that's why when I said, and I know that caused the stir that, you know, how can you not know who your guy? Again, this isn't one where you say, well, it's player X, and mm-hmm. by God, it's player X come, you know, no matter what happens. Because that's why we send these guys out to watch games. You know, it's why we put the scouts on the road. It's why we get the reports. It's why we do the digging. And it's why we have the debate and the conversation.
Thanks for stopping in, hey.
Yeah, it's my great insight. Thanks, Jay.
That was awesome, Jay.
Thanks.
Jay Feaster, the GM of the Flames, joining us here on The Big Show. We'll take a break and come back with more on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.